Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. How many fish fries do you go to on an average year? Have you been to every local custard stand to compare and decide who truly has the best chocolate? Maybe your summer isn't complete without going to a lakefront festival or tailgating at Miller Park with a properly cooked brat.
Well, if any of these are part of your repertoire, you may already have checked off a few of the items on Dan Murphy's list of 16 things every Wisconsinite needs to know, which is in the November issue of Milwaukee Magazine.
Murphy spoke with Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski, and he said most of the things compiled on the list come from the state's strong sense of tradition, starting with that classic Friday night fish fry.
You know, I think Wisconsinites are pretty good with tradition. And there's a few of those items in here. The supper club is another good example. They like their traditions. It keeps them cozy in the winter, I suppose. And that's kind of a cool thing about this state, you know, fish fries are something we do, and then we just keep doing them.
Yeah. You know, don't fix it if it's not broken,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
Do you have a favorite place to go for your fish fry?
Lakefront is mentioned in here. Lakefront's pretty cool. I mean, it's a great atmosphere. It's pretty lively. You know, any excuse to eat tartar sauce is always a good thing. But and plenty of good beer. You know, it's a great one. There are plenty around town that are awesome, but that's one of my favorites.
Another favorite of a lot of people here is the Wisconsin Supper Club. What makes these places uniquely Midwest, and how does one eat properly? I assume it's a relatively casual place. I admit I've not yet been to a supper club.
Oh, no.
I've had plenty of brandy old fashions in my life, I haven't had that club experience. So what makes a supper club?
Well, the brandy old fashioned's a great start. I mean, that is step number one in the supper club experience. Step number two is eating a lot of food that's probably not very good for you. But that's another tradition thing. It's comfort food for Wisconsinites. I've been to a few, and I can't even name where they are, but I've been to a few, like, just, you know, out in the country, 40, 50 miles away, where you just kind of come across the supper club on the Wisconsin, like, countryside, and it's packed, you know, wood paneled. I mean, it's really quite an experience, and the food's good. I mean, these people serve tasty food at a reasonable price, and they're not necessarily cheap all the time, but it's really an experience. It's not about just sitting down and eating. It's kind of working out the week and be like, all right, now it's time to relax. Supper club's like a treat for the family. I think that's kind of how it originated. But it's about indulging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I suppose being out in the country is part of that element of what makes a supper club, because I just personally haven't been able to get outside of Milwaukee to go to a supper club.
Yeah,
you know? It's kind of like an excursion.
Yeah, it is. And, I mean, there's Joey Girard's is kind of doing the supper club thing in town. There are a few others, but it's kind of a rustic, hearkening back to old days kind of pursuit. And again, Wisconsinites don't let those go, you know, which is a great thing. You know,
yeah.
It's an experience that not everybody even knows about, really.
Well, along the lines of things that we don't let go, what's the key differences between tailgating at Miller Park for a Brewers game versus Lambeau Field for a Packer game?
Well, actually, I shouldn't say this. I was going to say one team wins, but right now that's not necessarily the case with either. You know, they're both experiences not to be missed. It depends. Lately, the Brewers haven't been very good, so it's more about the party atmosphere, I guess. At Lambeau, everyone takes Packers football pretty seriously, so it's preparation for the game a little more so. Again, I think I listened here. The food items are a little different, very similar. Venison sausage runs rampant in Lambeau Field's parking lot. You need warm items usually to drink in Lambeau's parking lot, not necessarily the case at Miller Park. And, you know, both fans are, a fairly optimistic lot. So it's a good fan base. Enjoy themselves again before the game and after. You know, tailgating doesn't always end when the game's over.
Right. Well, and especially a central part of tailgating, in my mind, is having a brat. And you have included how to properly cook a brat. So who was the expert you went to, and what did they say?
Well, I talked to Milwaukee Brat House. So if you've never been, go, for one. It's a great pre-Marquette game spot. But, you know, they served one to President Obama. They've been mentioned nationally for having the best brat in town. There's a little bit of controversy about whether to pre-boil or not pre-boil, and the Brat House pre-boils, so I'm going to stand by what they do.
In beer, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. In Old Milwaukee, which I found interesting.
Yeah.
You know, you don't really want to spend too much money on the beer you're going to boil with, I suppose. But so I thought that was interesting. But yeah, you know, add a little flamage, they mentioned, which is kind of funny, actually. Again, I trust the experts, and they certainly are.
One thing that you have in this list that we're going to stray away from food for once, even though that's what we love here, but snow. And I'm glad you included how to properly shovel snow. What are some of the common mistakes people make, whether it's been your experience or other people's experience and their trial and error, and like what's the best shovel to get, how to properly move snow? What are some of these pointers and tips? Because even though it's been nice lately, before we know it, we're going to be shoveling.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, that'll come. I mean, actually, my best tip, I think, is the last, hire the neighborhood kid. But if you can't do that, you know, you always hear about people hurting themselves or having a heart attack when they shovel snow. I mean, when you head outside and are all of a sudden active, it's probably not the best thing. It's best to warm up, perhaps. And, you know, with that heavy lake effect snow, sometimes, you know, lifting with your back is a bad idea. So, you know, we got some tips here on the proper way to do it. The ergonomic shovel is not something that I've ever used, but I imagine that that's probably a good idea. Or, again, if not the neighbor kid, a snowblower might not be a bad investment in Wisconsin.
I suppose we just see how patient people are, whether they have shovels or have bought a snowblower already.
People tend to wait on the snowblower purchase until they need it, so it may not be the best planning.
That's true. You list that people, especially here in Milwaukee, should know when to swim and, more importantly, when not to swim in Lake Michigan. I've been a park worker and I have physically put up the red do not swim signs. So what are some of the key points there? And
you know what's funny is I started that by, in my thought, it was about the temperature, because I have in the distant past gone in Lake Michigan in July, and it can be, you know, 95 in outside, but just absolutely painfully freezing when you hit the lake water.
Yeah.
And I was curious if the temperature ever got better, which apparently it does in August, September, especially. It's at its warmest. So I wasn't aware of the concern for runoff and for pollution and that sort of thing. And it's not an overly polluted lake anymore. It's getting better too, which is a nice sign. But the idea that it's best not to go after a rain. Dog waste, I think bird waste was mentioned, of getting into the lake, which is something I never, ever really considered. So I won't do that. I won't swim then immediately after a downpour. And, I do think it's cold even in the
it's
late
probably
summer.
Cold all year.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. It's an amazing lake, so trying to get in it once or twice a year is probably not a bad thing.
Right. You also mentioned specific beaches for kind of catering to what you liked, and South Shore Park for boat watching. What are some good places for if you want a secluded beach area or less crowded, as, you know, Bradford Beach gets really busy?
Yeah, I love Atwater. I mean, Atwater Park's awesome. You know, you don't even know it's there until you hike down those massive stairway. Doctors Park is awesome up north too, but Atwater Park's just great because it's kind of this secluded. You know that movie The Beach with Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yes.
This kind of dystopian society goes on. That's kind of that reminds me of Atwater Beach. not quite as tropical, and there's no Leonardo DiCaprio or his band of merry men there, but it's similar to that, where it's kind of surrounded by cliffs, you know, and bluffs, and it's not, you know, it doesn't get the crowds you think it would.
Right. Now, going back to the important topic of food, we have several options for Butterburgers here. You list Solly's, of course, which is famous for swimming in butter. But I can't help but think of custard to go with that burger. So what's the difference between ice cream and custard for anyone who's not familiar with that?
Well, for one, it's a little heavier, which is actually true. You know, I talked to the co-owner of Gillies to find out some details. There's plenty out there, actually, and researched it thoroughly. But egg yolks apparently, you know, make it richer. There's less air that works its way in than ice cream. So it's kind of a more decadent form of ice cream, really. And that's another thing that really has maintained its popularity in the state. It's not hard at all to find a custard stand in Milwaukee, and, you know, go elsewhere. It's not quite as easy a task, and it's delicious.
What I found interesting that I didn't know, of course, we're known as the Badger State. The UW-Madison has Bucky Badger as its mascot, but it's not because of the animal.
Well, this is funny. The early references, there's an early letter from the Wisconsin State Journal about these miners that would come to the state, and they would kind of burrow themselves into the side of the hills to live, basically, while they were working. That's kind of been commonly thought as the reason, but I've read some contradictory information that we may not entirely know for sure if that's true, but it sounds really good. So I'm going to go with it. It's for surely not just about the animal. We know that. But I did a lot of research on this one, and it was really interesting. I had no idea. And these found these old kind of journal articles. Gail Martinson helped me out a lot with some links to, she works for the Wisconsin Historical Society. She provided me with a lot of links to kind of some other, a bunch of references as to how the name occurred. And it's fascinating. And we were, you almost could have been gophers, which I thought was really interesting considering the Minnesota rivalry.
Yeah.
And that Illinoisans were referred to as suckers, which I think it's you know, the rivalry started early, apparently,
yeah,
between states, you know.
Was there anything that didn't make the list that you were looking into?
We did mention cheese curds when they squeak. That means they're fresh. But yeah, that I think that's coming in a later article. I really have an issue with that, actually. I love cheese curds, but that squeaking is really odd to me. And it turns me off a little bit. Like, it makes me shiver a little bit. I like them melted then. I like them, like, fried better. Again, it's all about food. When I moved to this state in the late 80s, I hadn't heard of cheese curds. I'd never heard of bratwurst, actually. And this is in the late 80s. Now you can get them, I realize. I was from Nebraska, too, so we're very sheltered. But, yeah, a lot of these things I kind of learned. Bubbler, obviously, I didn't know what that was. But that's that one's so ubiquitous that I didn't even bring it up in here.
Right.
You know, or the chicken dance. I don't really care for the chicken dance much either.
Didn't do a lot of chicken dance in Nebraska?
No, or here, actually. Oh, okay. I haven't done much here. I've tried to avoid the chicken dance if I can. I think we covered most of what we originally wanted to, and it was fun. You know, there are a lot of things that make Wisconsin unique, and those things are pretty cool, you know. We're not a milquetoast state, you know. We've got a lot of odd quirks and cool things. We're not Laverne and Shirley like people may think. Although that's aging, I guess. But that's awesome to say about the state.
Absolutely. And if for some reason anyone here in Wisconsin, whether they're born or moved here, hasn't done anything on your list that you compiled, what would be their first homework assignment?
Wow. That is an excellent question. Well, it certainly wouldn't be to shovel snow.
That will come with time.
Yeah. I think I might go with the Supper Club because actually you get to cover a couple of these in the Supper Club experience. You get to have the old-fashioned, brandy old-fashioned. We have to stress that.
Yes.
And you get to have the Supper Club experience. If you go to the right Supper Club, you can play bar dice, which is actually listed in here, too. And don't load your opponent's cup and bar dice. Never put the dice back in the cup if you're playing at a Supper Club. Really bad luck. Really bad luck. Not a good idea.
Not a good way to start things.
No. You'll be labeled an outsider from the get-go.
Sipping your brandy old-fashioned alone in the corner.
Yeah, exactly. Relegated to the corner. But you'll have your old-fashioned, so you'll be okay.
True. Well, Dan, thanks so much for coming in and talking about the 16 things every Wisconsinite needs to know.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Sure thing.
Dan Murphy's article, 16 Things Every Wisconsinite Needs to Know, is in this month's issue of Milwaukee Magazine. He spoke with Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski.